Welcome back to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Hey, if you're brand new with us, we're glad that you found us. Every day we're going to dive into Rick's teachings, and today we're continuing the series called How God Meets Your Deepest Needs. Now, in this series, Rick explores how the different Hebrew names of God that are found in the Bible actually illustrate the special ways that God cares for us. His constant presence, His purpose for your life, and His preparation for a place for you in heaven. Now let's hear what Rick has to say today with part one of a message called How God Heals Your Hidden Wounds.
I'd like to begin this morning with a little health quiz. How many of you have ever had a broken bone? Can I see your hands? A broken bone. How many of you have ever had more than one broken bone at one time? Okay. How many of you have ever had stitches? Can I see your hands? Stitches. How many of you have ever had more than 30 stitches? All right. How many of you have ever had a surgery of any kind? A surgery. Boy, you are a sick group, I tell you. How many of you have ever been wounded in a war? Wounded in a war, all right? Okay. Today I want to talk to you about how God heals your hidden wounds. Not the physical, but the hidden wounds. See, what are hidden wounds? Hidden wounds are the memories that still hurt. Those recollections from your past that when you think about those things, they still cause pain in your life. Memories of abandonment. Some of you have memories of abuse. Some of you have memories of ridicule and severe criticism, or hatred, or prejudice, or criticism that just tore you down. Physical abuse, spiritual, sexual abuse, emotional abuse. Now, where do you get the hidden wounds of life? Well, you get them from everywhere. You can get them from society, the prejudices in society, and some of you have felt that. You can certainly get them from family members. Those are the ones that hurt the most, from parents, from kids, from brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles. You can get them in the workplace. You can certainly get them on the schoolyard from mean children. They're everywhere. Now, I've been a pastor a long time, and I've talked to thousands of people, and I've learned two truths about life. One of them is everybody has a hidden wound. Oh, you may be masking it, but everybody has a hidden wound, at least one. An emotional scar from somebody in the past who hurt you in some serious way. The other thing I've learned is that emotional scars take longer to heal than physical wounds. Would you agree with that? Sure. People have gone to Vietnam and other wars, come back, and their bodies would heal, but sometimes it takes years and years and years to get over the emotional scars. Now, the good news is this. Jesus Christ wants to heal your hidden wounds. And you can start on that process this morning. Last week, I told you about how in the Bible, God gives himself different Hebrew names, describing the benefits to us. And one of them in Exodus 15, he says, I am Jehovah Rapha, which means I am the God who heals. I am the God who heals you. And the Bible says this. In Psalm 147, there on your outline, God heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. He heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. You say, well, how does he do that? I'd like to have my hidden wounds healed, those hurts and recollections of the past, those memories. Well, today we're going to look at the steps in God's healing process. When you look at the life of Jesus, you see he healed a lot of people, physically and emotionally. And there are certain patterns and principles that come up over and over again in the way that he dealt with people. They don't always go in this order, but you can find these five principles in God's process of healing of memories. The first step in the healing process begins when I reveal my hurt. When I reveal my hurt or hurts, because you're never going to get well until you face your feelings straight on. Now, the Bible talks about the problem of stuffing it down inside and not talking about it. In Psalm 39, David says, I've kept very quiet, but I became even more upset. I became very angry inside, and as I thought about it, my anger burned. He's saying, holding on to hurts like carrying hot coals in your heart, you're the one that's going to get burned. Because hidden wounds, when you try to just stuff them down, they don't heal, they fester. And pushing a hurt aside doesn't get rid of it, it just makes it worse. Some of you are tired all the time. One of the causes of constant fatigue is because you're using up emotional energy on resentments, grudges, guilt, and griefs of your past. And you use so much energy dealing with those things that you have no energy for the present. So you're tired all the time. The Bible says this, "When I kept things to myself, I felt weak deep inside me, and I moaned all day long." He's saying it's emotionally draining. Now, because we live in a sinful world, people abuse other people. And I have no doubt that many of you here today have been abused in some fashion by someone else. And it's amazing how that people respond to abuse in different ways. Some people try to respond to abuse by just forgetting it. Well, I'll just put it out of sight, out of mind, and, you know, stuff it, like I just said. Some people try to run from it. And, of course, there are many ways to escape. You know, get drunk, do drugs, go to bed with people you don't even know, get involved in work. Some people try to just ignore it. Some people try to pass it off on somebody else, blame it on somebody else. Some people try to cover up their abuse. Because for some reason, sometimes we feel guilty. And maybe we think it's our own fault. And we don't want anybody to know. So we push it down. And it's like a Coke bottle that you're shaking up and it's about ready to explode. And one day, the top's going to come off. None of those ways work. So step one is to be honest about your pain, about your fear, about your anger, about your resentment and bitterness over what people did to you, about the way you felt when you were abandoned or abused or ridiculed, the shame that maybe you felt. But you've got to start by revealing your hurts. And you got to be honest. You say, honest with who? Well, you got to be honest with three different people. First, you have to be honest with yourself. And you have to own up to that this hurts, and I'm ashamed of this, or I still hurt over this. And you be honest with yourself. Second, you got to be honest to God. And you say, God, this is how I feel. And you just got to vent, and you let it all out. God can handle that. Now, I'll tell you, God already knows how you hurt because he saw it when you were hurt. And he hurt with you, and he grieved with you. So you're not going to surprise God when you're honest to God about the pain in your life and the shame in your life. You're not going to surprise him. He already knows, he already cares, he already loves you. He just wants you to be honest with him. It's for your own benefit. It's kind of a catharsis of getting it out. And then the third thing you've got to do is you've got to be honest with at least one person that you trust. Be honest with yourself, be honest with God, and then you have to tell somebody with skin and bones. There's something healing about revealing your feeling to one other person. The Bible says in Job 18, verse 4, you are only hurting yourself with your anger. When you stuff it down, you're just hurting yourself. You're never going to get well until you reveal your hurt. Step two is to release those who have hurt me. Release those who have hurt me. Because you can't get well as long as you harbor resentment in your heart. For your own sake, you got to let go of the right to get even. Now, the fact is, you only have X amount of emotional energy, and you're going to spend it in some way. And so one of the most important decisions you've got to decide in life is this. Do I want to get well, or do I want to get even? Because you can't do both. You're going to have to decide that. Do you want to get well, or do you want to get even? Because you don't have enough energy, emotional energy, to do both. Now, let me give you a little secret. Getting even will not take away your pain. Some of you have done that. You've been able to get back at the person who hurt you. And you know, it didn't solve the problem. You still feel the pain. There is only one way to get rid of hurt in your heart. When somebody's hurt you, there's only one way. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. You say, but Rick, they don't deserve to be forgiven. I didn't say they did. You're right, they don't. Neither do you. You don't deserve to be forgiven, but God's forgiven you. I'm not saying forgive them because they deserve it. I'm saying forgive them for your own sake. Because you can't get on with your life as long as you're stuck in the past. And as long as you hold on to resentment, you are stuck. You are stuck. And that person is still controlling your life in the present, even though they may have been out of your life for many years. I don't know if you saw last week's Time magazine, right in the middle of it, there was an article, Should All Be Forgiven? Big article, and the headline says, giving up the grudge, that grudge, can be good for your health. Researchers are pioneering a new science of redemption based on the old form of grace. Well, duh. You know, scientists are finally figuring out what the Bible's been teaching for 2,000 years. You can't hold on to a hurt and enjoy life. You gotta let it go. You have to give up your right to get even. Not because they deserve it, but because you want to get on with your life. Now look at this verse, Romans 12, 17 and 19. Never pay back evil for evil. Never avenge yourselves. Leave that to God. Circle that. Leave that to God. For he has said that he will repay those who deserve it. Now, the reason why we get in such a mess is because we forget this. We forget that God saw all the hurt that was done to us. And when we forget that God saw that hurt, then we think that we have to take matters into our own hands and it's our duty to settle the score. It is not. It's not your duty to settle the score. God says, I will settle the score. So let Jesus settle the score. Trust God to balance the books. He saw what was happening. He saw the hurt. He is going to justify and mete out justice at the appropriate time. And either you can spend the rest of your life trying to do it, or you can let God do it. Let me give you a verse to write down. Psalm 56, verse 8. Psalm 56, verse 8 says, you, God, have kept a record of all my tears. Did you know that? Did you know that God has kept a record of every one of your tears? The times that you have been abused, the times you have felt injustice, or if you've experienced prejudice, or if you've experienced hurt or rejection, God has kept a record of your tears. And he is going to settle the score one day because he is a God of justice. Nothing has ever slipped his watchful eye. No hurt. No hurt at all. You see, the reason why you hold on to your resentment is because subconsciously you think, I have to remember this because if I forget it, they're going to get away with it. You know, you think by holding on to it, somehow you're hurting them. You're not. You're only hurting yourself. And you think, I got to hold on to this so it won't ever be forgotten, because if it's forgotten, they'll get away with it. Listen, it's not going to be forgotten. God is going to remember it. And if God is going to remember all the hurts that have been done to you, then you can stop rehearsing it in your mind and wasting emotional energy on it. Now, Jesus certainly understands abuse because he was abused. So I suggest that you do what Jesus did. Look at the next verse. When Jesus suffered, he did not threaten to get even. He left his case in the hands of God. You know that Jesus had 6 wounds right before he died? He had the head wound, the face wound. He had the back wound from the whipping, the stripes that they did. He had the hand wounds and the feet wounds where they nailed him to the cross. And they had a side wound where they stuck a spear into his side. But the deepest wounds in Jesus' life were the hidden wounds. Because he knew betrayal, and he knew abuse, and he knew rejection, and he knew hatred, and he knew injustice. And Jesus could have blown them all away in an instant. Instead, he stretched out his hands and he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. You say, well, why should I forgive those who've hurt me? Well, number one, God's forgiven you. Number two, you're going to need more forgiveness in the future. And number three, it's the only way you're going to get well. There is no other way. You've got to release your right to get even. The next verse, Hebrews 12, 15 says, a bitter spirit is not only bad in itself, but it can also poison the lives of many others. You see, resentment poisons everybody around you. When you get bitter, you hurt all kinds of other innocent people, and you perpetuate the claim, because if you don't release that person who offended you, you're going to begin to resemble them if you don't release them. Well, I'll never be like my dad. What are you doing the whole time? You're focusing on what you don't want. And it is a way of what you resist persists, and you are going to become a bitter person. Did you know that bitterness can be passed on from generation to generation? Some of you had very bitter parents or a bitter parent, and they passed on to you a resentment toward life, toward situations, and if you don't break the chain, you're going to pass it on to your kids. Somebody's got to stop the misery by revealing my hurt and then by releasing those who have hurt me. Step 3, you want to get well? You have to replace old tapes with God's truth. Replace old tapes with God's truth. You see, your brain is like a tape recorder, and it has recorded every single experience your five senses have experienced. Everything you've smelt, everything you've seen, you've heard, you've touched, you've tasted. Oh, it's all in there. Everything people have said, your brain is an amazing recorder. It's recorded it all down, good and bad, right and wrong, true and false. Now, here's the problem. Your brain doesn't distinguish between things that are true and things that are false. And particularly when you were a little kid, there were some things that were said to you that were flat out lies, but you believed them. And if you believed them, you act on them. And some of you are still operating on faulty data. And when you base your life on faulty data, then what happens is you build a self-defeating lifestyle. And you set yourself up for failure and pain and hurt. Some of you and your kids had adults or authority figures in your life say things like, you're stupid, you're ugly, you're never going to amount to anything. I'm embarrassed to call you my child. You're uncoordinated, you're dumb. Why couldn't you be smart like your sister or your brother? And on and on and on. And they said things to you, you're worthless. And they went into that recorder. And some of you are 20 years old, 30, 40, 50, 60, and you're still acting on old tapes and wondering why you still do things that defeat you. Self-defeating actions and habits. You got to replace those tapes with God's truth. Look at the verse on the back of your outline, Romans 12:2. Let's read it aloud together. Let God transform your into a new person by changing the way you think. How does God change us? How does he transform us? By changing the way we think. How do you do that? Well, first, you have to pray and you say, God, would you heal my memories? Those things that are hurt, those open wounds in my heart, they still hurt. Would you heal my memories? Begin that process. Second, you need to fill your mind with God's word, this book. The more you fill your mind with this book, the more it'll start erasing old tapes and putting God's truth in your mind. And so you fill your mind with this book by memorizing and studying and reading it, God's truth. And then the third thing you do is you believe the truth about you. What is the truth about you anyway? What has God said about you? Look at the next verse. Through what Christ would do for us, there's the key, through what Christ would do for us, God decided to make us holy in his eyes. Without a single fault, we stand before him covered with his love. Circle the phrase, without a single fault. Star it, underline it, draw arrows to it, whatever. That's how God sees you once you step across the line and give your life to Christ. Without a single fault. He takes everything you've ever done wrong, the guilt, the regrets, the shame, the hurts, and he just erases it. And he says, okay, we're going to start over. And that's what I think about you. God sees you without a single fault. Because you're really that way? No, because of what Christ's love has done for you. That's the good news. Now, you know, psychologists have proven over and over and over again that the way you see yourself, your self-esteem, your self-worth, your self-concept, is largely determined by what you think the most important person in your life thinks about you. Did you get that? That the way you see yourself tends to be based on what you think the most important person in your life thinks about you. So I want to suggest to you that you make Jesus Christ the most important person in your life, because he's going to tell you the truth and everybody else is going to lie to you. So you can decide, am I going to listen to liars? You're worthless, you're nothing. Am I going to listen to what Jesus Christ said? The Bible says that when you are in Christ, you are valuable, you are acceptable, you are lovable, you are forgivable, you are capable, you are usable by God. That's what God says about you. So the question is, who are you going to believe? What somebody lied to you about? What somebody told you on the school ground? What some imperfect, sinful authority figure said to you? Or what God says about you? It's your choice. You have to replace old tapes with God's truth.
What a special message from Pastor Rick. And now let's hear how lives are changing through Daily Hope. Here's Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
Here's a testimony that was sent in from a woman named Marcia. She says, "Hi, Rick. What a blessing this radio show is. I am a survivor of the great white wave of mental illness." Well, Marcia, I understand that. And God is with you. Thanks for sharing that with me. She says, "Every day, first thing in the morning, I listen to Daily Hope. And I've texted your messages to so many people when the message of hope truly hits home for me. I praise the Lord for all your team. Don't ever stop. And I'm especially proud of what you and Kay are doing for mental illness. With love and praise, Marcia." Well, thanks for writing, Marcia. You know, one of our goals is to take the pain and the hurt we've had experienced in our own family and use it to help others. It's not a sin to be sick. Remember, your illness is not your identity. Your chemistry is not your character. God loves you. You can have a tender heart and a tortured mind at the same time. God is with you. And thank you for writing. And by the way, thanks to all the rest of you who write to me. And if you get a chance, jot me a note of what's going on in your life this week. God bless you, and we'll join you next time.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, please send him an email. He loves it. To rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. We hope you'll join us next time when we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.